We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. We're going to read verse number 20, and from that we'll get our title, When God Turns. Joshua 24, 20, When God Turns. God is having Joshua speak to the children of Israel to prepare them for his soon removal. And they're going to have to go on without him. So he has told them the things that God would have them to hear. And in verse number 20, he says to them, If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn. That's something we need to understand and know in our day and age. When God turns, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. And they said to him, We'll serve the Lord. And Joshua said, You can't do that. He said, you know that you're in a flesh and you're going to get lazy. God's going to bless you and you're going to assume upon God and you're going to grow lax in your relationship to the Lord. That's where we are in the realm of Christendom today. Go with me to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, and verse number 10. Isaiah 63 and verse number 10. The Bible says, But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. So in Joshua 24, 20, and in Isaiah 63, 10, it says that God turned. While we're here, let's look at Isaiah 66 and verse number 4. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. So we want to understand something as we go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. I need to represent God correctly. He is unchangeable. It says when God turned, but I want you to understand and know something. God never changes. Malachi 3, 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, I elected and chose you before the foundation of the world, and I will not change. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You will not be consumed. I will bring you on to know the Lord. So you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. You said God turned. You gave us two verses, Joshua 24, 20 and Isaiah 63, 10. Yes. Now you're telling us in Malachi 3, 6, God does not change. That's exactly right. God has always been against evil. God has always been for righteousness and blessed righteousness. But he has to make us know that we can receive an opposite of wrath and rage from God, from that which we started out receiving when we told him we were going to walk with him. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want you to see something. I want you to understand God does not change. But it says when God turns, he begins to respond to us in accordance to our response to him and our walk before him. Deuteronomy 28, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, beginning with verse, let's see where we want to start. in verse number 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now listen, verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if, see, it's conditional, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3, blessed shall. Verse 4, blessed shall. Verse 5, blessed shall. Verse 6, blessed. All these blessings shall come upon you. So God doesn't change. He's always going to bless those who obey him. But as he's blessing them that obey him, at the same time, he's bringing curses upon those who don't. So he's doing the same thing. Excuse me, he's doing two different things at the same time to the response of two different people. So when it says when God turns, it's not that God changed one iota. He was always against rebellion and disobedience. It's just that you have begun to experience that now. It's like the fire the book of Daniel. So we got fire departments in our nation, in our counties, around our cities. Why? Because somebody said very well, said fire is a great servant, but it is a horrible master. So we know that the book of Hebrews says our God is a consuming fire. He tells us that our God is a consuming fire. He's always burning in his glory and his holiness. But dear soul, that holiness and glory, that glory in his holiness is as much against evil as it is for righteousness, all at one and the same time. So if you were saying, I'm going to walk with God and do what God said, these blessings come upon you. But the minute you turn from that, you can expect God to manifest himself in his disapproval. He has to disapprove of sin and transgression. God's highest glory is his holiness. What do the angels sing that stand in his presence? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And so we see that he stands in his glory, in his holiness. Now, holiness is a two-sided coin. It has to, on one side, approve of righteousness and bless it, as here in Deuteronomy 28. But, he says, all these curses are going to come upon you when you begin to disobey me. Go on down to Deuteronomy 28 and verse number 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 16 starts off with curses. Verse 17, verse 18, verse 19, they all start off with the word cursed. So we see that this is the exact same God talking to the exact same people. It's not that God changes. We read you in Malachi 3:16, I am the Lord, I change not. There's no way that God can change, because what would he change to? He is perfectly glorious and perfectly holy. He can't become more glorious or more holy, and he certainly is not going to change to be less glorious and less holy. So he is consistently glorious and holy. But that glory and that holiness manifests itself to those who are naming the name of God, and he said, you'll be blessed if you obey my commandments. Same God. Then we drop on down to verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28. You'll be cursed if you don't. He was always going to curse those who did not obey him, while he was blessing those who did obey him. The Lord knows how to deliver the the righteous from temptation and to bring judgment upon those who are disobedient unto him. And the word of God in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, the Lord knoweth, number 1, how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and number 2, reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. All one at the same time. God's eye is upon all humanity, and he is going to act as himself in his holiness and glory and change not, depending upon that which they express to him. So at what time they obeyed his word, all these blessings came upon them. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. But at the same time, those who disobeyed him and walked contrary to his will, the same God at the same time who changes not, brought all these curses upon those who were disobedient. And that 2 Peter 2, 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver, number 1, the godly out of temptation, and number 2, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So it's the same God doing, being the same glorious and holy one as he always had been. Now we mentioned fire to begin with. Our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews chapter 12. And we understand, and as we said, that saying goes, that fire is a great servant, but it's a terrible master. What does that mean? It means we have to have fire departments throughout our counties and cities, because if fire breaks out where it's not supposed to be and starts consuming our houses or our businesses or even our lives, we need somebody to come and get that fire under control. But yet at one and the same time, every house in that city, every house in that county has fire in it. If they have a gas stove, they cook on it, they have to have fire. If they have gas furnace, the fire comes on and it lights up and it sends heat throughout the house. So there's fire in every house, but the fire department has to be there in order to contain the fire that breaks loose beyond its bounds. The fire that was in Daniel chapter 3, it was so great that it consumed the guards and the mighty men that threw the three Hebrew children into the fire. It was so powerful that those who actually threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, it slew them, Daniel 3:27. But God is a consuming fire. His being in that fire with the three Hebrew children, the king said, did we not throw three men in bound? They said, yeah, that's right, king. He said, well, I see four men loose and walking around. Well, then the fire of God overcame the fire of Nebuchadnezzar, and it burned off the bonds and those things that bound the children of Israel and gave them freedom to walk around in the fire. And dear soul, they had to be called out of the fire. They didn't come jumping out and saying, ooh, that's hot. No, they had to be called out. They adjured them to come out of the fire. And the Babylonians came to understand that while God is a consuming fire on one hand, the Babylonians that threw them in were burned to death and they were scorched, and it took their breath away to throw them into the fire. Same fire. But God in the fire protected the Hebrew children. Same fire. Blessing to one, curse to others. Same God. As far as God is concerned, he never changes. Malachi 3:6. But we can sense a turning of God to change how he deals with us according to how we turn and deal with him. Same God, The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Go with me to Psalm 102. Psalm 102, beginning with verse 25. Psalm 102, verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. So seasons change, times change, nations that are important and rise up in the history of the universe change. At one time it was Rome, at another time it was Germany, at another time it might have been Japan, and this all, and then America's having her time. And we need to be careful. Just because we're being blessed or have been in the past been blessed of God, it doesn't mean it's going to continue if we walk away from the Lord. You've got to understand, our God is a consuming fire. Well, we like fire. I have a wood stove. I enjoy smelling the wood as it burns and hear it crackle and spark. And there's, we warm ourselves therewith. Fireplaces, and we enjoy it. And we're camping. If we go camping, we like to build a fire and sit around the fireplace, the fire, and have our meals and talk to one another. Maybe somebody gets a guitar out and plays, and we enjoy it. But if that fire gets loose and gets into the trees and into the brush, and you have a forest fire, you've got problems on your hands, and they call in firefighters from all around the surrounding states and bring in big aircraft to spray water or whatever chemicals to try to put that fire out. It's the same fire. He is the same God. Our God is a consuming fire. And when it says in these two verses in Joshua 24:20 and in Isaiah 63:10 that the Lord turned, it doesn't mean that he changed. He was, at the same time that he had been blessing them, opposed to evil. He's always opposed to evil. If you want to know how that is, just disobey God and get into the framework of those who are evil, and you will have God to manifest himself in his justice and his judgment against you. He tells us in the book of Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 33, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why would you be smitten? Why won't you turn? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Dear soul, you can't say God is just delighted, excuse me, in judging and bringing judgment down upon mankind. He's not that way. But there's not a moment, not a second, not a single time, not an event where God changes, that he is opposed to evil, and he is absolutely given to the righteous. It's always been that way. He's never been any different. Let me read you that verse again in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9. 2 Peter 2, 9. The Lord knoweth, number one, how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And the same God at the same time, and number two, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So we see, dear soul, that God doesn't change. He is right now a consuming fire, either to burn out the dross of that which binds you, like he did the three Hebrew children. He burned up everything that bound them. Did not we cast in three men bound? Yes, we did, King. What do you see, King? I see four men loose. How did they get loose? The fourth man is the Son of God walking among them, and he is a consuming fire. So your Babylonian fire, that you walk in disobedience to God and you don't have the desire for God's glory and holiness in your heathen nation, it burns up those that try to do evil. The guards in Daniel 3:27, they were smitten by the fire and were slain by the same fire that loosed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they came into a consciousness and an awareness of our God who is a consuming fire being in there with them. So God's fire, his glory and his holiness, overcomes and supersedes the fire of judgment of mankind. Isn't that amazing? Are you learning anything? He never changes, but he turns. Did he turn to be something that he wasn't? No. He's always been opposed to evil. You just didn't know it because you didn't get involved in experiencing his justice and his judgment upon you because of the filtering agent of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood-bought atonement. You ought to thank God every day that God looks upon you with pleasure and looks upon you with delight. How does he do that? It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. No man cometh to the Father but by me, is what he said. So we understand and see that this is the way that God is. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, let me read you something. Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, stop. That doesn't say they're saved. They just escape the pollutions of the world. Well, have you seen old Joe lately? No, why? He's altogether different. What do you mean? Well, he's quit all of his bad habits. He's quit running around on his wife. He's staying home. He's, making improvements in the house and on the house, taking care of things, bringing home a paycheck on a routine basis. And he's quit all of his bad habits. Well, that's good. He's escaped the pollutions of the world. But wait a minute. That doesn't mean that he knows the Lord. That means that he got legalistic morality, but it ain't going to last unless he gets imputed righteousness. There is a great deal of difference between becoming moral because you have determined that your way of life was harming you, your health, your wife, your children, your community, your family, and you decided you're going to straighten up and you're going to clean up your act. That's great. But dear soul, it don't mean you're saved. Listen, for he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If I'm going to be righteous, which will include a morality that will never fail, that will never cease. Doesn't say the Christian can't fall in the mud, but a sheep won't live in a mud hole. A pig will, but a sheep will get out of it. Don't say we can't sin. It says we don't want to sin. Got a new nature. So we understand and see, we understand and see that we are sheep. Therefore, we have a different nature. So we have righteousness. But old Joe may have just got morality. So he says, if they have escaped, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, how? Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He got under the gospel. He heard the word of God. It had some effect upon him. And it was just the word of God that caused him not to be saved, but to escape the pollutions of the world. Now, if after that they are again entangled therein, and if they are overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Well, you remember that I told you about old Joe? Yeah. Cleaned up his act. Yep, I remember you telling me about that. Well, you don't want to see him now. Why? Because what he had didn't last. Dear soul, if a man is genuinely born again, he can't be unborn. How many kinds of soil were there when the sower, identified as the Lord Jesus Christ, went forth to sow his seed? Four. There was the wayside hearer, the hard path that men walk on, and some seeds got scattered on that. Birds come, got it, didn't even penetrate the earth. There was the stony ground hearer, and there was enough dirt in those rocks to where the word of God was received. Read your Bible, Matthew 13, with joy. And anon, and lo and behold, sprung up. That's old Joe. Man, it looks like he really got it. He's got religion. Yeah, but let's wait. It's not he that leaves the starting gate, but he that endureth to the end that shall be saved. Let's wait and see who comes across the finish line. Dear soul, I've known a lot of people that the church just, you know, got this, just swelled up in their pride and say, boy, old so-and-so really got saved. And then they had to bow their head in shame after a few months or days or years or whatever, because they turned around and went back in there, and they said the latter end is worse than the beginning. So the third ground was the thorny ground hearers. He too sprung up. Seems like he really got it. But then he lost his job. She had a miscarriage. Things began to happen, that cares and trials and heartaches of the world. They had a bad debt and couldn't get out of it, lost their home. And so they said, why did God let this happen to me when I was trying to live for him? So the cares of this world choke out the seed, and it brings no fruit to repentance, no fruit to completion. So that's three soils, and none of the three came on to a continuance. But what was the fourth soil? That was the good ground here. The word of God fell into that good ground heart, and it grew, and the Lord was with it, and it prospered, and it continued through trials and heartaches, through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. It's grace that led me safe thus far, and praise God, it's grace that will lead me home. So he continues on, no matter how many heartaches and trials come, because he said, God had never been bad to me. I am not going to turn on him. God has always been blessed to me. And so, dear soul, although the three other souls, the wayside, the thorny ground, and the stony ground here, all three of them now have God, looks like, has turned on them. God was against people who do not persevere in the faith all the time. He didn't change, but it looks like he turned, because you're seeing him act differently, but it's only in response to these people acting differently towards God. Joshua 24:20, God will turn and do you hurt after he has done you good. Talking to professors, those who said they were the children of God. Isaiah 63:10, talking about God turning, was talking about those who said they were Israelites, but they turned and served other gods and took on other gods. So God began to manifest himself in that way towards them. It wasn't that God turned into something and became different. It was, dear soul, that they invoked from God, 2 Samuel, I'll get it right in a minute. 2 Samuel chapter 22. It was that they invoked from God a righteous and holy response to ungodliness. He's always been opposed to ungodliness. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. All the time that he's being good to you and you're trying to live for God and his glory, and you're trying to do that which God has determined for you to do, and God is manifesting himself in his blessing toward you, he's still at that same moment, at that same second, against those people that are disobedient to him. He doesn't change. The fire that warmed the homes of those in the community and in the city and in the county, dear soul, is the same fire that got loose and burned down half of the city limits. The fire department had to come and work against that fire. The fire was a bad master, but it was a good servant to those who were cooking their meals by it and warming themselves by it. That's the way God is. Our God is a consuming fire. He's precious and blessed and holy and good and glorious. But dear soul, you turn from him, he will manifest himself towards you in that regard. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 25. I don't know where to start. Verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Did you hear that? The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Has he rewarded me? This is 2 Samuel 22. I'm on verse 22 now. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, due to that, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness in his eyesight. God is responding to David in the way that David is responding to the Lord. Now listen at verse number 26. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. That's great. You start living for God, God will manifest himself to you in that regard. With the pure, this is verse 27, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, that is the crooked and the devious, thou wilt show thyself unsavory, cunning and shrewd. The afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. It's the same God. You look at the haughty, you see God revealing himself and bringing them down. And he said, with the froward, with the crooked and the devious, he will show himself as unsavory, as cunning and shrewd. But he's the same God. He's always done that. Everywhere there have been people who try to name the name of God and then did not live it and were hypocritical in their relationship to God, God showed himself in these ways against them. for our benefit. Joshua 24:20 and Isaiah 63:10 says, God turned. He's still the same as he was. You remember that cloud that led the children of Israel out of Egypt? It was just the same cloud, but on this side it beamed brightness to the children of Israel so that they never stumbled, they were never in darkness, they were never confused about where to go or how to get there. But the same cloud on this side beamed darkness to the Egyptians. Same thing we're talking about. The same fire that burned up the guards that threw the three Hebrew children into it were killed. But the same fire that killed the guards of the Babylonians loosed the bonds and set free the three Hebrew children that were in it, because within that fire they saw the fourth man like the Son of God. And dear soul, I'm not saying that God's people don't suffer afflictions and trials and heartaches. Lord knows we do. And we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. But those afflictions and trials and heartaches are part of God's blessing, because he burns out the dross, the flesh, burns out the old man, and brings us to purer eyes to be able to see what God is doing for us. We have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. And his Son, S-O-N, is the S-U-N of our universe. It beams brightness and warmth and brings life to us. And so we understand and see, dear soul, that God is manifesting himself to one as unsavory and bringing himself as being shrewd and being froward or devious to them, because they are unsavory and they are devious and they are crooked. I don't care if they say, well, I'm a Christian, and you better watch out about this Christian nationalism that's trying to be forced upon us. It's hypocritical, dear soul, and we need to be careful with that. We say, well, we're a Christian nation. Are we really? Then how come all the ungodliness goes on in our nation? We're as ungodly as any nation has ever been. But, dear soul, listen. God is manifesting himself in curses against this nation to those who are walking contrary to God, who said that we are the Lord's. But God is showing himself blessed even in the midst of this cursed generation and this apostate age. God is blessing those. And I'm talking about spiritual blessings. I'm talking about God manifesting himself and showing you the things of the Lord and warming your heart. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and opened unto us the scriptures? Dear soul, it's a blessed thing to be able to walk with God, even if we're walking on the suburbs of hell in our nation. So we understand and see that that's what God is doing. He did not actually turn in that he became different. He's always hated evil. It's just that we had never got ourselves in the status and the framework of being a hypocrite until then. And now we look and see, well, God's not blessing me like he did. He's turned and now he's cursing me. Wasn't God that turned? Even though the Bible said God turned, it's just conveying to you through natural words and through a natural understanding of the glory of God that we did not know before. With the froward, he will show himself froward. With the merciful, he will show himself merciful. Listen at 2 Peter chapter 2 again. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Listen at verse 21 of 2 Peter chapter 2. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Listen, that's very serious. Don't go saying that you are a Christian and that you are a born-again child of God just so that you can have the blessings that seem to befall those who make that profession. You better be careful. Don't mess with God. Don't mess with God. Listen, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness that caused them to escape the pollutions of this world than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment. It was you that turned that made it look like God turned. He was always against and opposed to hypocrisy. You just hadn't been expressing yourselves as a hypocrite before, but now that you are, and this nation has turned itself as a hypocrite, termed itself as a hypocrite, God is manifesting himself in his curses against us. God's always been against hypocrites. But it looks like God turned because it was us that turned. That after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22, 2 Peter 2. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog, not the sheep, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow, the pig, the hog, not the sheep, that was watched to her wallowing in the mire. God said they're going to prove themselves to be dogs, not sheep. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They have a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. Therefore, you're going to see God seemingly to turn against them. He's always been against hypocrites. He's always been against liars. He's always been against dogs and pigs that tried to pass themselves off as sheep. Dear soul, the tares are sown among the wheat. And one of the hardest trials that the Christian has is to have to deal with those who say they are Christians, but in their works they deny God, and they are really a grievance to the soul of the true believer. They'll be in your family. God said in a family of five, there'll be three against two and two against three. That's what God said. God's not going to save everybody according to your lineage. He saves everybody according to Christ's lineage. So we understand and see, dear soul, that it's hard to deal with these people. But believe you me, eventually they will see God turn against them because they have turned against God, because they should never have named the name of God to begin with. It had been better for them never. How is it better on a man, on a soul, not to know the ways of God than to know the ways of God and turn from it? The Bible said, he that knew the Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with few stripes. There's going to be different degrees in hell. Those who have come under the blanket of evangelism and have said, like this man, that we have turned, we have, where was I? They have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I went down there to the church and I heard the word of God preaching. I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to quit drinking and I'm going to quit running around and I'm going to quit lying and I'm going to do right. That ain't going to last if it's not God doing it, because the flesh will not be able to tolerate it. The dog will return to his vomit. The sow will return to her wallowing in the mire. I've told you many times about how I had a man come and sit in my living room just weeping years ago. And he said, I got to get my life straightened out. And I said, "Why, what's going on?" He said, "My wife has left me and I've lost my children." And he said, I want my wife and family back." Kind of bothered me, and there was a spirit in me that questioned this thing. But dear soul, I went along with him and encouraged him as much as I could. And he wound up standing in front of the local church and professing that he knew Christ and that he'd been saved, and we actually baptized him. But what we found out was he went down a dry center and came up a wet center. He never got saved. All he wanted was his wife back. He turned over his liquor bottles to her and watched her pour out his liquor into the sink. He straightened up and did what he was supposed to do for a little while. But you know what? Finally, the man said, "Fooey on this. I got the same problems with my wife and kids as I had to start with. That's what made me drink to start with. I still got the same problems. And I ain't able to take it, and I ain't staying in this no longer." And he walked away from him, and the latter end of him was worse than the beginning. And he went out and got more involved in sin than he'd ever been in. Exactly what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2. So we understand and see that to the just, God will show himself righteous. To the unjust, God will show himself unsavory. Did God turn? Did God change? No, he did not change, but he turned to act in proper response to that sinner who had tried to act like a hypocrite, and it is in his hypocritical and in his hypocrisy, in his response to God, in that hypocrisy, God responded to him, and it seemed like God turned. But he's always been against evil. He's always been against evil. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive," watch it now, why is God allowing these lying wonders and to come with such power upon a nation? "Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Hold on a minute. Deuteronomy 28. You say we've already seen that. Okay. Hold on. We're going right back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Deuteronomy 28. If I can find it. Deuteronomy 28, and down in the cursed section, the first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 14, contain the blessings of God. But in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, it starts giving you the curses of God. And in the middle of the curses of God section, look at Deuteronomy 28 in verse number 47. He says, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in want of all things, and shall put an iron yoke upon your neck until he have destroyed you." Did you hear what that said? Deuteronomy 28 in verse 47. "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 10. "Because they receive not the love of the truth." What does God say? "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and come into his courts with praise." And because you did not love the Lord and rejoice evermore, God said, I'm going to send all these curses upon you. So in the cursed section of Deuteronomy 28, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, and so on. And so here's the same thing, whether it's in the New Testament or the Old Testament. He's the same God. I change not. Malachi 3:6. So it doesn't matter, dear soul, whether we're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's the same thing. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 again. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth. They didn't serve God with joyfulness of heart. You say, but you don't understand. I've got problems. I know that. But the Bible said, rejoice evermore. The thing that Jesus said we should have our joy affixed to, that we should never, ever, ever be so despondent that we can't be joyful before the Lord and have things to give thanks for, is that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This world's going to be over before too long. Either we're going to die or Jesus is going to come back. And dear soul, it doesn't matter. The few things that we go through are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You say, my car broke down. Yeah, but your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My children got sick. Yeah, but your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah, but I lost my job. But your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice evermore. While we look not at the things which are seen, my job, my kids, my sickness, my car, but we look at things which are not seen, the glory of God shedding his righteous blood for you. Can you get over that? Can you get over that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten? You got many children, one of them got sick. God had one son and he died for you. Don't make God turn. Dear soul, I want you to understand and know that his fire is just as much and bitter against those who throw God's children into it to destroy and kill them today as it ever was. And I want you to understand and know that God's fire will burn all the dross off of you and burn that thing which binds you and cause you to be able to walk around in the fire, and you have to be called out because you're enjoying the presence of God so much in that fire, and you're saying, listen, I may not be outside with the rest of them, but I'm in here and I ain't got no bounds. Those things that bound me, those cords, are burned away. And when they got out, there wasn't even the smell of smoke upon them, because this is a smokeless fire. It's the glory of Almighty God. Oh, my soul, there's so much to see. Let's finish this. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they might believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You say, I don't want that to be me. Then read the next verse. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, I'm not like old Joe, that I got the pollutions of this world removed from me because I heard somebody preach about, y'all are going to hell if you continue like that. Oh, I better stop that. But he didn't get saved. It was a good seed, but it fell on the wayside. didn't have any root, didn't even have any penetration of the soil. It fell on the stony ground, just a little bit of dirt in those rocks. And with joy, it sprang up. But when the sun came up, there wasn't any moisture, there wasn't any dirt, there wasn't much root penetration and to sustain it, and it withered and died. And this old, the thorny ground here, the trials and afflictions of the world choked it down. Well, I thought when I got saved and I joined the church, everything would be all right. It will be all right. But what you were talking about, you thought you were going to have God remove from you every problem that you thought you would be taken, would have, blah, 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 blah. You thought God was going to take away the trials of life, but we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. If I never get sight of the gates of light, it's the way of the cross that I missed. This old Christians are going to have problems, but not by having to lose the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ to our souls in the midst of those problems. Oh, my soul. Did God turn? Seemed like he did. Did he actually change? Absolutely not. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, love never changes. It's the same in its consistency as it's always been. Glorious Savior. And so we understand and see that as God is giving me the ability to walk in the ways of righteousness, then I can expect God to continuously be his glorious self and to encourage and bless me, though I may be down at the cemetery, though I may be in the intensive care ward, though I may be in the poorhouse, though I may be hated and scoffed and mocked by other people. God's still the same, and he'll always be with me. He doesn't change. But I feel sorry for those who turn from their profession of faith, and like Peter said, return to their wallowing in the mire because they were a dog all the time and never were a sow. They didn't get the new nature. One flavor of religion says you can be lost after you get saved. And if they fall into sin, they say, well, I need to get saved all over again. Well, did you get sick while you were a human being? You say, well, yeah, I have. Well, do you have to go back in your mother's womb and get birthed all over again? No. You don't need to be born again. Dear soul, if you're saved, you are saved. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It's not that it doesn't last and it doesn't continue. It's that we turn from God ourselves, and it looks like God turns on us, but it's just him acting out himself in his glory and his holiness against hypocritical apostasy. That's where we are today. Everybody in America's Christians. Everybody in every denomination is a Christian. Everybody in Washington and in the Congress and in the Senate are born again Christians. But dear soul, we're the worst bunch of rascals that the world's ever known. We're hypocrites. We're vile. We're ungodly. We're full of lies. We claim to know God, but in works we deny him. And dear soul, that's the reason you're seeing it seemingly that God has turned on us. It's because we have turned from him. As a lost church member for 7 years, I know what I'm talking about. And dear soul, I was so thankful when God saved me and I had to renounce my profession. I had to renounce my repentance. I had to make everybody understand and see I was nothing but a dry sinner when I was baptized and came up a wet center, I still wasn't saved. I wasn't born again. And I'm afraid that's the population in the American church today. God have mercy on lost church members, because they will see God turn on them. May God bless you. Thank you for your prayers.